First Peter chapter 2. You know, this morning we started a very serious subject of submission, and I'll try to finish it tonight through verse 20. I can't really overemphasize the importance of the lives of believers to get a handle on this principle, because it is easy to come to church. It is. And if you can't do that much, God help you. Really, with, and you're here tonight, so I'm not preaching to the choir, but I mean, the easiest thing in the world is to come to church. It's hard to submit to God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And really, the testimony of many believers is that they're obviously not submitted to God because, you know, they can't even be in church when they should, let alone let God have His way in their lives from hour to hour, day to day. And the truth is, as we said this morning, all the bondage in our lives comes from the fact we are not submitted to God. All those devilish things that occur and how the devil has his way is because I did not let God have His way. And I can't overemphasize that, because you can hear that and not put that into practice in your life. The devil does not have more power than God, but he has easy power over people's lives that are not in complete submission to the Lord. It's not a contest. It's not a fight. There is no way you can resist the devil without submitting yourself to God. You cannot do it. And so really, as we teach and preach on this subject of submission, it is for your benefit, for your protection, for your welfare. We're not just trying to, you know, this liberal world or this wicked world, I should say, despises the fact of submission to authority, and they don't understand. They do that to their peril. They do that to their own peril. And so we want to continue this morning, and I didn't really get into the details of the scriptures that we read, so we took a bigger view of submission. But this will be part two of submit yourselves. First Peter chapter two, verse 13. The Bible says, submit yourselves. Now that's not a recommendation, that is not an opinion, that is not advice, that is a command. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Will you pray together with me? Father, I want my heart and my life to be acceptable to you. And Lord, I want the hearts and lives of every member of this church, every part of this body, every person that comes through these doors, I want their lives to be acceptable to you. But God, I know that can never take place until we are willing to submit everything in our lives to your obedience. And I pray you would help us again to think on these things and enter into the dictates, the commands of the Word of God for our lives that are for our protection and for our benefit and for our blessing. And Lord, I pray that You would get the victory in our lives tonight again, please. And whoever's struggling with something tonight, I pray they would bring it and lay it at Your feet. And Lord, I pray that's where we would all find ourselves, at Your feet. And we'll thank You and praise You for that help. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. All right, verse 13 again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. So the first thing I would say is submission is not subjective. That means that you don't get to pick and choose how you submit. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance. You know, that's, we like to deceive ourselves into thinking that we are obedient when in fact we pick and choose the things we are obedient in. And when it comes to God, it's, no, you obey everything. No, you do everything that I tell you to do or you're not being obedient. See, we'll say, well, God, you told me to do this and I did it. You told me to do that and I did it. So that means because I did five things for You, I get to do two that I don't want to do. Or I get a break on these others because it's just sort of the same weird anti-God system of religious work salvation. You know, if I do a few good things, God will forget my sins and forget my bad and I'll be able to go to heaven. But God's not that way. He demands sinlessness. You don't get to heaven unless all your sin is gone. All of it. And you can't take it away, you see. Well, I think maybe a Christian can get involved in that same trap of philosophy. Well, I did what He said here. I did what God wanted here. I didn't do this terrible thing. So because I've done pretty good, then I get to enjoy this that God's not pleased with. The Christian life's not that way. God says, look at your Bible, because I didn't write this. He said, submit yourselves to every ordinance. And you know what's hard about this? This is not even the ordinances of God. It'd be one thing if God says, submit yourself to every ordinance of God. He didn't say that. But that's true, of course. We ought to know that. Nobody should have to tell us that. If God tells us what to do, we do it, right? I mean, it's... No, He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Why does He say that? Because if we don't cultivate an arena of submission in our lives, we will begin to pick and choose what we want to do, and pretty soon we'll be living our own lives to our own dictates instead of being submissive to God, and we learn submission to God by being submissive to others. That's hard. That's hard. We live in a generation where nobody's able to tell me what to do, you know. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, the next book. 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, concerning these false prophets and these wicked men, look how he describes them in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. We talked about that this morning. Anybody that's walking after the flesh is in rebellion to God. They're not submitting themselves to the Spirit of God. Chiefly them, he says, who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And you can always note someone that's walking after the flesh because look at verse 10 again. And despise what? Government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Even Michael the archangel did not go in his own power against the devil and speak a railing accusation against him. Michael the archangel had respect enough for the devil not to talk to him in a disrespectful way. He rebuked him in the name of the Lord. In other words, he let God take care of the devil. But he had respect to his power. He had respect to his position. But he went against him in the name of the Lord. The Bible says the people that despise government, they despise authority in their lives, are people that are not just mad at government, they're mad at God. Because God's the one that instituted government. You know, if it wasn't for government, you talk about chaos. Government is a gift of God. Well, I never thought you'd hear that in an independent Baptist church in Alabama, do you? Let me just show it to you. Look at Romans chapter 13. Government is a gift of God because we would be more than living in the wild, wild west. Now, man, give us those days living in the wild, wild. Yeah, you'd say that until you got hung up by a tree. When somebody came after what you have. Government is given by God. Now, I'm just like you. I can't stand bad government. I don't. I mean, I wish a lot of things. But, you know, I wish a lot of things that probably God doesn't wish or He'd do them. I just wish all of government was gone. Yeah, you say that until they're not there. That's God, I got enough guns in my house. I'll protect myself. I don't know when the vigilantes get out of that. And maybe that'd be true for Alabama, but in Ardmore, but it probably won't be true for the rest of the world and the rest of our brothers and sisters in this country. You see? It'll take them time to move their way over here. God has set up government. You know why? To teach us submission. So we don't just live how we want to live. You know what laws are for? Laws from the government, even if they're bad, are meant to teach us submission. You know why? Because we're out of control. I didn't say you're out of control. I said we're out of control. We are out of control. I guarantee you for sure, if it was not for the laws of the government, I'd be going 110 down that interstate. I would. It's bad enough now. And you know what keeps my flesh in check? The law. The government. Now that's a simple illustration. But the government has all types, and the government is not God. I understand that. But God allows them because the problem is people are so out of control, including Christians, and He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. That's what He said. Now, why is that? Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto... There's that submission. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That's what He said. He said, man, what if we have a terrible, terrible president? Oh, you got it easy. You know what they got in 1 Peter chapter 2? They don't have a terrible president. They have a terrible king. His name is Nero. And they're losing their lives. You know what God says about the government? I put them there. You see, one day it's going to dawn on us that we'll wake up and that God is in charge. God is in charge. He sits in the heaven. He does whatsoever He pleases. And sometimes He exalts a government for judgment. Sometimes He exalts a government to give people what they deserve. But government, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, verse 2, Romans 13, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, He's not talking about eternal damnation. There's physical damnation and there's other. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, He's talking about what government's supposed to be, all right? Now, certainly, bad rulers that get controlled by the devil and they start killing Christians and whatnot, but still, God allows that. But the purpose for them is to be a terror to the evil works. Wilt thou, verse 3 is where I'm still reading, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? In other words, God put government to make people afraid. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for He beareth not the sword in vain, for He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, there's that submission, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So, First Peter, go back to our text, he gives two reasons for government. What are the purposes of this government, these ordinances of men? He said in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 14, or unto governors as unto them that are sent for the, here's number one, the first purpose of government is for the punishment of evildoers. And secondly, for the praise of them that do well. Now, government doesn't always do their job right. But you know what? If you're a father in this room, you are God's ordained authority over your children. And you know what's true? You don't always do right. And if you're a husband, you're the God-ordained authority over your wife. But you know what's true? You don't always do right. So it's easy for us to point at the government and say, well, let's get rid of the authority. What if the children got rid of all the parents that were not doing right all the time? What if all the churches got rid of their pastors that weren't doing right all the time? I'm just saying there's a principle that needs to be learned of authority here and submission. But one of the purposes of government is to keep evil in check. And the Bible said in Romans 13, they use the sword. Thank God we still have the death penalty in America. And that's one of the purposes for government. So that people will be afraid. Can you imagine? You saw, maybe you saw the news. The scenario played out in Arkansas. You got all these guys that have been on death row for, 50 years, killed all kind of people, and finally it's their time to be executed. That's the purpose of government. That's what the Bible says. And so they get ready to kill about 11 of them. And then all these people say, well, you can't do that. That's cruel and unusual to kill so many. What does it matter? What does it matter? And then you know what happened? They put off those executions. And in days, how many, there was a woman killed, and her uncle was killed, and her 9-year-old boy was killed, and her 2-year-old daughter was killed in Arkansas. Days after that. A 2-year-old, a 9-year-old, a woman, and an uncle. The purpose of government is to put the fear of God in the evildoer. So that even if they don't want to be submissive, they'll be too scared at least to do some things. Thank God for the laws of our land. But you know what we're doing in America now? We're saying, well, let's just get rid of all the laws. If you want to smoke dope, smoke dope. You want to kill a baby, kill a baby. But the purpose of government was to put fear in the heart of evildoers. That's what he said. And for the praise of them that do well. It is to teach us submission. You say, man, there are some of those laws that they're just not right. Well, yeah, I'm sure that's true. I probably somewhere down the road told one of my kids to do something that probably didn't have the best thing. But you know what? It was good for them to do what I said. Because you know why? There's no way they'll learn to obey God without obeying their dad. Submission. People are living in rebellion to the Lord and they despise government. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. It says, the increase of his government, there shall be no end. You know what Jesus is called in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6? He's called the governor. You know what a governor does? Of course, there's a king, there's a governor. But if you go over there to James, in James chapter 4, the Bible talks about that. James chapter 3, verse 4, it talks about the governor on a ship. And it turns things where it wants it to go. Whithersoever the governor listeth. In other words, there's one guy that's supposed to be in control of that ship. And that ship submits to however the governor wants to turn it. Sort of like they used to put, and still, I had a rental truck some time back. And, I could put that that pedal all the way to the floor. And I did. And you know what happened? No more than what I let off on it. Why? Because there was a governor on it that was controlling the speed of that vehicle. And I had to submit to the will of the governor. I said, no, I want to go faster. And the governor's on there, and I may be spitting out fumes on the sidewalk, but it's not going to go any faster. And I just need to ease up and submit to the will of the governor. Jesus is the governor. And listen, if we can't learn submission in our life, it is to our detriment. It is to our damage. It is to our hurt. And you don't have to agree with it all the time. But you have to have a good attitude and submit to that authority. And you can't say, well, this one I will and this one I won't. He said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Go back to our text. Why? Why? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. What's the next phrase? For the Lord's sake. Do it for God. Well, I tell you what, you know what would change our hearts and lives? If we'll just do what we're supposed to do for the Lord. Just do it for the Lord. Lord, I could argue about this, but I'm just going to submit to you and I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for your sake. I'm going to do it for your testimony. I submit myself to you, Lord. And I submit myself to the authorities that you put in my life. For your, I'll do this for you. Have you ever had somebody come up to you? Would you just do this for me? I just swallow hard and would you please just do this for me? The Lord says that. Would you just please learn submission in your life for me? For my sake. Because the next verses, as I said this morning, go into the fact how Jesus submitted himself to the death of the cross, and he was reviled, and he was abused, and he was sacrificed for us, you see. And he submitted himself voluntarily to that. He bore all of our sin, and all of our shame, and all of our mocking, and all of our hell, and all of our pain. And he said, would you just do this for me? Would you just live a submissive life? Instead of a rebel, and just do it for me. Don't even do it for the authorities in your life. Don't even do it for your own benefit. Just do it for me. If Jesus Christ came sat by beside of you tonight and he said, would you do me a favor? What would you say? Would you do something for me? I mean, if I came to you and said, man, I need something. Would you please, can you do a favor for me? Maybe you'd do it, maybe you wouldn't. Maybe your mom or your dad or somebody you love. Jesus Christ said, would you do something for me? What would you say? You know what he'd ask you to do? He would ask you to submit to the things that he's trying to put into your life so that you will be in control and under his perfect will. Look at verse 15. He says in 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God. Submission is not subjective. You don't get to pick and choose every ordinance. Submission is the will of God. It's just the will of God. You know, I have all kind of people come to me sometimes, and a lot of times they're young people, and they want to know the will of God. And usually it's about where do I go to school, or who do I marry, or what kind of job do I get, or some kind of financial decision. You know what the will of God is for us? Is to be submissive. Well, that's... You know, okay, give me another message. No, that's it. That's what we need. The will of God for your life is for you to submit your life and decisions every day to whoever he puts over you and to whatever he wants you to do. And if you're not submissive to God in your daily life, you are out of the will of God. If you are not submitting to the authorities in your life, if you're not submitting to the Word of God, you are out of the will of God. And I tell you what, when you're out of the will of God, nothing goes right. It is all a fiasco. And it's better just say, okay, God, you know better than I do. I submit. I want to do your will. Here's our problem. See, a submissive heart says, God, I'll do your will. A person that's not submissive to God says, I'm not going to do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's where people destroy their lives, doing what they want to do. Jesus Christ died for me, and He bought me. If you're saved tonight, you've been bought with a price, and you are not your own. Your life is not yours. My life is not mine. I don't get to pick and choose how I live. I'm to live the rest of my days to the will of God. Not to what I want to do. Who cares what I want to do? You will be the most miserable person, and it might take 20 years. You will be the most miserable person in the world doing what you want to do. And if you'll just submit your life to God and say, God, I'll do your will. Just like we said this morning, perfect submission, perfect delight. Perfect submission, all is at rest. Do you want to do the will of God? Do you want to do the will of God? Look at verse 15. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know it's ignorant not to do the will of God? It's just ignorant. I mean, there's a lot of people that are crippled too high for crutches, brother. And they've got degrees and they've got education. But when you are not submitted to the will of God, you are ignorant. And that's the word. I could use other words, but I'll just use God's word. You're ignorant. And not only that, he says, that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know what also? When we're not submissive to the will of God, it's a very foolish thing. It's a foolish thing because you know what it is? It's saying that I know better than the Lord, that I'm smarter than God. And I know God gave me all this to live by, and He told me how to live, and He put these authorities in my life. And I understand, yeah, okay, but I know better. How foolish. The God that created everything, and for me to think that I know better than He does, how foolish. He knows what's best for your life. He knows what's best for us, and so we need to submit ourselves to His will to bring that to pass in our lives. Verse 13, look at it again. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now watch this. He gives you some different authorities. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So, look up here. Submission. Submission is the will of God. Submission is not subjective. I don't pick and choose how I want to submit. And submission is not to a perfect authority. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance. He said, and just to let you know, I'm talking about the king. The king, you know what Americans don't like? We don't like kings. We got rid of ours real fast. Right? Ain't nobody going to tell us what to do. You know, when God established His nation, Israel, He didn't have a democracy. No, I thank God to live in America. I really do. I thank God I'm not under a dictatorship. But you know what? It's going to be a sad awakening for most people when Jesus Christ comes not to be the president, but He comes to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's going to be a dictatorship. When we get to heaven, and of course we'll have a new body and all that, but we're not going to do what we want to do. We're going to do what He wants us to do. Might as well get some practice on that now, you know? Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, you got a king there? Okay, just learn some submission to that king. And again, the king at this time, 60 AD, is Nero. The Roman Emperor Nero, the King Nero, was one of the worst I mean, probably, if not the worst Roman king there was. He is putting Christians on poles and setting them on fire. He is crucifying people, not like in Jesus' day, but he's doing it upside down. This guy's ruthless. This guy is a maniac. And you thought Obama was bad. We don't know what it means to have a king that is evil. We don't even know what it, in the history of our little nation, in the short nation period, we don't have any idea. And this is written to a bunch of Christians that are living under a wicked, violent, vile, murderous king. And Peter writes to them and says, submit yourselves to the king. I can see myself saying, what did he write that for? Somebody needs to kill the guy. Do you know how hard it would be to submit to a king that killed your wife? You know how hard it would be to submit to a king that burns your church? Can we put it in context? What God is trying to teach us, that the act of submission in our heart goes a whole lot deeper. I'm telling you, it comes to a foundational root of Christianity. It was the foundational root in the heart of Jesus. Not my will, but thine be done. And if I get abused, I'm going to be submissive to your will, God. And if you allow this to take place, even though it's not right, even though it's not fair, even though it harms me and people I love, if you're going to allow this, God, I'm not going to avenge myself. I'm just going to commit myself to you and let you take care of it. And by the way, God took care of Nero. He didn't have a long reign. He died pretty quick. Read the history on it. It wasn't pleasant. And this is a good thing. God can take care of wicked authorities. Just do what you're supposed to do. He can take care of them. Now, that doesn't mean you won't suffer. Submission is not just a perfect authority. It could be to a king. It could be to a governor. Those are people that are sent by him. That's people, okay, here's the authority, but then he sends somebody else. And it's always the middleman authority that sometimes sticks people, you know. Well, I can do what the chief boss says, but you? He sent you to tell me what to do? You understand what I'm saying? And so the king would send governors out, and maybe they would recognize the authority of the king, but this guy, I can't do what he says. I mean, I can take it from the pastor because he's so loving and kind, and you're not supposed to laugh there. But Brother Ray, you know, he's so hard. I know it's the opposite, right? But or the Sunday school teacher, or whatever. I'll listen to the president, but not the governor. I'll listen to the governor, but not the other guy. He's trying to teach us it doesn't matter where the authority, and it doesn't matter the inconsistencies or the problems of the authority. You still have to learn submission for the good of your own heart. He even goes a step farther. You see he says in verse 17, at the end of the verse. Well, let's look at the first part of it. Verse 17, honor all men. You know it takes submission to God to honor everybody? Honor all men. Now you think about that just a moment. It takes a submissive heart to be honorable to people that are not honorable. You want to give, you know, this deadbeat here, right? This guy talking this way, this filthy mouth. This guy, the way he's acting, I never forget, man. We were in a street meeting years and years ago in Memphis, and one of those wicked hellions went over to one of the ladies in the. And we were just holding signs, passing out tracts, and pulled her skirt down. I tell you what, man, I did not want to be honorable with that guy. And thank God that the government was there. And they got a hold of him before we got a hold of him, because we weren't being very good Christians at the moment. I'm telling you, it is hard to be honorable with everybody when everybody's not very honorable. But still, my submissive heart, I need to be honorable toward all men. Man, that's serious Christianity, isn't it? I need to be submissive enough to God, listen now, and to be under control enough, under the hand of God, that don't matter what the person says. And these guys out here park out here in the parking lot. I don't know if y'all know that. I mean, we got deadbeats that come out here and park in the parking lot, and I don't know what they do. God knows what they do. I stayed a little late last night studying, and they left the car here all day. And me being the spiritual, you know, been praying all night, amen, with the men's prayer. And they drove up, amen, about 9:15. So you know what I did? I went out to them and I said, hey, y'all think this is a public parking lot? I'm just being honest with you. I have a hard time sometimes being under control with people that aren't very honorable. And that's not a good thing. And all of us have that problem in different areas. You know what we need to learn? We need to learn submissiveness. And we need to learn to honor all men. And the Spirit of God caught me, and I said, please, could you, you know, God started tempering that conversation. But you know, when you want to stand up for your rights, you see? You want to be in control. This is in your parking lot. This is God's parking lot. Get your stinking car off of this parking lot. And you're out here with these girls and guys and pulling up here. Right? That's what you want to do. And somehow you've got to have a submissive enough heart just to hold back the reins. Say, okay, God, you take them. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to interact with these people? Honor all men. Look at the next phrase. Love the brotherhood. Why does he say that? You know what? There are some people that are hard to love. It takes humility and a submissive heart to love the brotherhood. Because all the brethren, and I know we got the perfect church, right? Amen. But I tell you what, the first time you think your kid slided, the teeth come out. Smile at me. Come on now. Help me now. I don't want to be ugly here. But we got to love everybody. And a submissive heart will just love everybody. That doesn't mean we condone sin. That doesn't mean we don't rebuke sin. That doesn't mean we don't deal with things. But we've got to love the brotherhood. And you know why we don't love all the brotherhood? Because we have a proud heart. We say, well, I'm not going to love that one. Because they did this and they said that and they didn't talk to me last week. And amen. And my kid didn't get the treat. Or whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know any problems. They keep them from me, so I don't talk about them in the pulpit, I guess. No, we have a great church, but I'm saying it takes a humble spirit to love everybody. Lord, I submit my will. I'll just love everybody, whatever you want me to do. I'll honor all men. I'll love their brotherhood. I'll fear God, and I'll honor the King. How do you honor a heathen king like Nero? Can you explain that to me? How can you be honorable to such a devil? That is an imperfect authority, but it still goes to the point of my submissive heart has to interact correctly with these people. Preacher, I've got a husband that's brain dead. What do I do? Just be submissive. Well, that went over really low. The next chapter, he's right. A whole lot of verses on that. That's what he says. Because you have an imperfect authority doesn't mean you have the right to do what you want to do. My mom and dad, my parents are what they ought to be. He didn't say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. As long as they do right. Or as long as they have the right spirit. We want everything to be so fair that we can't submit to something that we think is not fair. God doesn't care if it's fair or not. He cares how my heart is. And He will honor my heart. He will bless the submissive condition of my heart. I know a lot of husbands that need a good knock upside the head. And they're not very good authorities in their home. And they're not smarter or more spiritual than their wives. But that does not change the principle of God's submission. I know a lot of parents that aren't what they should be. They're not very spiritual. And they're not very smart. But that doesn't change the principle of God's submission. Same with pastoral leadership. Pastors aren't always right. Sometimes they're brain dead, not very smart or spiritual either. But that doesn't change the principle of God's submission. And what He's trying to get across, if you will be submissive, it will be to your benefit. You say, preacher, is there ever a way or a reason where that authority has to be dealt with? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the Bible says about the pastors that sin, He said, them that sin, rebuke before everybody. Because ultimately, God is the final authority. God can remove government. God can punish government. God raised, you know, He said, honor the king. But you know what God did in Egypt? He raised up a deliverer to a wicked king. And He destroyed Pharaoh, the king. You know what the book of Judges is? The book of Judges is that God raises up some wicked king to rule over Israel because they're not doing right. But then you know what? And they had to submit to that chastening. But then God would raise somebody up. And they would rebel against the king only because God says, all right, this guy's time for him to go. So if God raises somebody up, I think God raised up the leaders of our nation to rebel against the king. I think that was of God to put forth a nation that would bring the gospel to the whole world. I believe that was ordained of God. But it's got to be something that is higher than just what I don't like. And yeah, there are some ways that husbands need to be dealt with and parents need to be dealt with. And there's bad authority. But don't let that change the submissiveness of your heart. Because look at verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. See, if you'll fear God, verse 17, you fear your other authorities. It's healthy if it's directed toward God. Verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Look. Not only to the good and gentle. Isn't that what we want? I want a gentle authority. I want a good authority. I want a perfect authority. Not only to the good and gentle, but to the what? But also to the froward. And he goes on to say in verse 19, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know what a Christian does when they suffer wrongfully? They give thanks to God. Oh, man. Guys, do you know why churches for the last 30 years in the South have been destroyed? Because somebody got wrong and they wouldn't put up with it. And the truth is, we all get wronged.
Right.
And you know what you ought to do when you get wronged? It's thankworthy. If you are doing right and you get wronged, just praise and thank God. And be a Christian. For the sake of Jesus. I can see the Lord looking down for the last 30 years and say, hey guys, just for my sake, can't you get along? Just for my sake, can't you just, you know, endure a little bit? I know it was really hard for you to get through the day with the sneer you got from Sister So-and-so, but can't you just do it? I know the preacher said that one thing and it just hurts your feelings, but just for the sake of the souls all around the world, they're dying going to hell, and for my sake, that loved you and gave, can't you just forget about that and just Because, yeah, the preacher does wrong, and your brother in Christ does wrong, and your husband does wrong, and your wife does wrong, and the king does wrong, and the government does wrong. But somewhere, don't let that change your heart. Have a submissive heart. And if you're wrong, just praise God for it. He will bless you for it. God even says, if you rejoice over an enemy, when they fall, you know what God might do? He may turn and bless the enemy because you were rejoicing in their fall. Now turn that around with us. If somebody treats us wrong, you know what God might say? I'm just going to give them a double blessing over there because they kept a good attitude in that thing. Kept a submissive heart, a right spirit. You will get blessings you probably don't even deserve if you have a good submissive attitude and suffer wrongfully. And the context, and I don't have time to go through all the verses. I'll just say them out loud. But Titus 2:9, Titus 3:1, Colossians 3:22, Ephesians 6:5, he talks about all these servants. Now listen, that's not you working at Steelcase. That's somebody totally controlling your life. You are like a bond servant. Okay? I don't use the word slave because that's also in the Bible, but it's found in a different place. And God uses the word servant. Can I go there right quick? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. One of these days, I am going to do something that is the most controversial thing I've ever done in my life. And that says a lot. I'm going to write. Maybe I won't. Maybe God won't let me and I'll be submissive. One of these days, though, I want to write a defense of why the Bible talks about bond servants in the Bible. That would be the most controversial thing. You know what the worst sin in humanity is besides doing something to a child? Slavery. The modern thought of slavery. Right? And I'll just say one little brief thing, and we'll read this verse. What's going on in our inner cities is worse than slavery. It's not just affecting one generation, it's affecting generations to come, one generation after the next. Living not only in violence, but living in a society that's totally anti-God. Kids coming up without fathers and mothers. No home structure. Gangs, drugs, murder, death. Why somebody doesn't really point out how many people die every day in Chicago? And what those kids have to see is worse than slavery. And the bondage they are in is worse than anything that ever happened in this country. That does not excuse some of the things that happen in this country. But what I'm telling you, it is not always in the Bible a bad thing if you are a bondservant. Now, that's about all I'll say because that's all people can take, but I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Watch it now. Verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made, what's the word? Free. Use it rather. Praise God. If you get out of your bond service and you become a free man, use it for God. Praise the Lord. Look at the next verse. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Look what he says. He says, if you find yourself, you are a bondservant to somebody, and you're not really free, don't worry about it, because you have freedom from God on the inside. Paul was more free in prison than all the Romans that were out there drinking and enjoying life in their freedom. He was free in here. Freedom is not out here. Freedom is in here. Jesus said, if the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. I can look at my brothers and sisters in China, my brothers and sisters in Christ in North Korea, my brothers and sisters in Iran, and though it looks like they have no freedom on the outside, if they've got Christ, they've got it on the inside, and they're just as free, maybe more so than a lot of people in America. Amen and amen and amen. If you're a bondservant, you're saved, you're the Lord's freeman. Don't worry about it. And then he says this, if you're free, you're Christ's servant. If you're not in bondage to serve any man on this earth, guess what? You are still to be somebody else's servant. And you're to be controlled by Jesus. You are to be controlled by Jesus, just like that guy's being controlled by his master, because you have a master too. Man, what a thing. It doesn't matter what situation I'm in. I am still a servant. Somebody else is still controlling my life. If I'm in somebody else's house and I got a good master, praise God. If I got a bad master, God says I'll deal with him. But if I'm in nobody's house and I'm in the land of the free and the home of the brave, I still have a master. And I still am not to be in control of my life. And most people don't look at either side of that equation. As free. He uses that phrase back in 1 Peter. I'm about finished. Would you go back? He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, look at it, as free. You see that? Now this is what I want to say. Submission is the will of God. Submission is not subjective. Submission is not toward a perfect authority. Submission is for the Lord's sake. And lastly, submission does not take away your freedom. Here's our mentality. If I'm doing what somebody is telling me to do, then that means I don't have any freedom. No. If you're doing what God's telling you what to do, if you are submitting your life to God, you are as free as they get. As free and not, watch it, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Sure, God gives you a free will. Sure, you can make decisions. But don't make decisions based upon anger at different authorities in your life or anger at God. Know that if you're saved, God's made you free on the inside. Look at it. Read the verse again. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Look at it. But as the servants of God. If we would see ourselves as servants of God instead of free Americans, it may help our Christianity. I don't get to live the way I live. I'm free. I have liberty. But I have liberty not to do wrong, but I have liberty to do right. I have liberty to serve the Lord, you see. I have liberty to submit myself to God. And here's what God says. Whoever you submit yourself a servant to obey, listen, his servant ye are to whom you obey. A lot of people today, they're a servant to a television set. They're a servant to a video game. They're a servant to a drug. They're a servant to a job. They're a servant to a bottle. They're a servant to their own ego. They're a servant to their peers. Whoever you yield yourself to, whoever you submit to, whatever has the control of your life,
That's who, what you're serving. And the Bible says this, that's why I need to submit myself to God. Because I cannot serve God if I don't yield to Him my life. If I don't give Him my eyes and give Him my hands and give Him my feet and give Him my tongue and give Him my mind. If I don't submit myself to God, I'm not serving God. I'm serving whatever else I'm involved in. Be not ye the servants of men. Be the servant of God. And there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. Even if you're buffeted for your faults, he said in verse 20, you know, sometimes you get in trouble because it's your fault. If you be buffeted for your faults and take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patient. This is acceptable. Just be patient. Just be. Let God have His way. Don't. You know, we get in such a hurry that we get out of the will of God. And don't. Jesus Christ waited 30 years to preach. I can't believe that. And He only had 3.5 years to do everything He did. And He patiently submitted Himself for 30 years. And what kind of life did He bring to His Father? And we get in a hurry and we get impatient. You know why? Listen. Because we want to do what we want to do. And we want what we want, and I'm going to get it. Yet when you get it, it ain't going to be what you think. We just need to submit ourselves to God and say, oh Lord, I'm patiently waiting on whatever You want. You're my master. You tell me what to do. Guys, life is so much better when you let Jesus tell you what to do. And it's so hard when you won't submit.